Vansley is released, Delay of Thream comes out next month through Napalm Records. Can you tell us a little bit more about the concept and ideas behind this album?
So, concept is of course, set in Nordic mythology with Delay of Thrym, the story where Thor gets his hammer stolen by Thrym and goes to get it back. But the real inspiration for the lyrics were actually the international news starting from December and on about the uprising against tyranny in North Africa and throughout the Middle East. And I used Thrym to represent tyranny and dictators, and Thor to represent whoever is standing up against him, and the hammer represents the weapons and the power. So it's more of a political statement than really a pagan or Viking metal album. As for the musical side, we sort of wanted to do much the same as we did last time, but try and expand it to a larger audience in a way, though without selling out or becoming completely commercialized. Or doing it with our musical and national integrity intact. So I hope this album will have a wider appeal as we intended.
And more particularly, what exactly do you think is going to make? I mean, that you guys change to make this happen without, you know, like you say, showing out?
Well, that's very simple, really. You just have to. Use simple ideas for the songs and preferably only one idea, maybe two at the most, and take away the progressive parts. You know, keep the progression down, and keep the the verse chorus structure up, and make it interesting in itself, and not try and make it more interesting with putting more stuff on all the time, like we did with the Ragnarok album, for example. Because once you play progressive music, you sort of get deaf to what normal people, at the risk of sounding conceited, think of as progressive when they hear it. I mean, it has to be a lot simpler than we think is non-progressive. People still call our music progressive, even though we think it's quite simple. So you sort of have to overcompensate for that you are a progressive musician, and to make it simpler than you think it would need to be. And that maybe has taken us 3 albums now to figure out.
And do you think that, I mean, you as pleased as a musician now that you're not playing, a little bit more, involved, complex, now you're trying to, keep it simple, but as a musician, I don't know, a lot of people don't kind of get used to that. How has the transition been for you?
Actually, it made me do a solo project, which is very complicated music, into which to pour my progressive impulse. So no, I find it. I actually like the challenge of trying to write catchy music that is original and simple at the same time. That's not. It's not very easy. At least I don't find. But and keeping it at an accessible level is even more difficult. So I welcome the challenge, and I don't need to. I don't need to play 5 minutes of solo in each song anymore. I used to think like that, but no, the song comes first, and each band member's technical abilities come second.
And how do you feel that now? I mean, you guys have been a pretty constant band, not a lot of band member changes, so you've been working together for this long. And how does the writing process now that you're all kind of in sync?
Our writing process has always been difficult in a way, since we never lived in the same country. Well, not since 2001, I think, when Teddy joined. since then we've been spread over two or three countries, and so it's all long distance with notes and recordings being sent back and forth. For the last album, for example, I did all the music, I did all the songwriting, but for this one I got some input from Teddy and Gunnar, the guitar player and the bassist, and they sent me their ideas, either recorded or on notes, and I work on it, arrange it, and we send it back and forth and exchange ideas about it. So the full arranging work is done by me on notes at home, and I send the notes back to the guys when we're done with that, and everyone practices his parts, and that's how we prepare for studio.
And a lot of musicians, you know, keep saying, "Oh, we're doing what we want." But you guys, since last time we talked too, you guys kind of push it to be, you know, more approachable by people. By people in a way, you know, maybe dumbing down the sound, bringing it, you know, more earthly. What is your main motivation of doing this versus, you know, keeping the 100% artistic integrity and just playing music that you might end up liking only yourself?
Yeah, I know what you mean, but I think we did it in a way to keep our integrity. We didn't do anything that we would under no circumstance have done anyway. The thing is, let's not kid ourselves, we're trying to make a living of music, and it's not very easy, to put it mildly. So you need to be looking out for the fact that someone has to listen to this. You have to think about that while you write the song, that someone has to listen to it and someone has to like it, or else, there's no way we can continue with this. You know, I have to get a job to pay my bills. And probably sounds cheap, but that is one reason for the change in the music. As I said before, I made a solo project where I write music, where I do not take into consideration that anyone has to listen to it. I just do what I like, and both things are fun, and both things are a challenge that I like to work with.
And in terms of touring, I mean, you guys are probably one of the bands that tours the most, and you tour the States a bunch of times. And how do you manage to fit all this other, you know, writing this album, the other side project, in the same time while you're concentrating on playing shows?
I don't feel that much pressure on it. I think I fit it in pretty well. I do songwriting, most of the songwriting when I'm at home, but I also have my laptop with me, and I do some writing when I'm on tour as well. And I don't do much else. I mean, I just sit at home and write music. The year that we toured the most, I think we played 100 concerts in 1 year. And there's still more than 250 days left of the year to work on music. So it's not that hectic, really. We have a good supply of raw material, now for our next album, ideas left over and new ideas. So, the songwriting frequency is not a problem, really.
And, you know, in terms of the response to the releases, how do you see the adjustments and compromises that you guys have been doing over the years? How do you see that reflected in how people are liking you guys?
Yeah, when we made, for example, the Ragnarok album, which is probably the most successful album, also because of its age now. I mean, it was 2006 we released it. There was a lot of people who liked progressive and very epic and not so accessible music who came to like us. And those people, at least the ones I know personally, have said they do not like the subsequent albums as well. But the people that did not like Ragnarok because it was so unaccessible, tend to like the later albums, and the feedback I have on the latest album, the upcoming one, is even better than for the last one. So I think we lost some fans. Well, at least they're not fans of our new albums to the same degree as they are fans of our old albums. But we gained a lot more, I think. I mean, I can see that in the sales numbers as well. There's no doubt about it.
And, you know, now that you have all these releases, how do you guys plan your tour set? I mean, your live sets, your set list?
We always take the songs that people react best to. I mean, you learn that over the years. And sometimes you just have to try a song. You think this will work well live, and you try it, you see it doesn't, and then you change it to another one. And it's hard to predict sometimes, but we try to go for the songs we think are going to get a good reaction live. Some songs just have the people standing around and doing nothing and then applauding a bit at the end. We like better the songs that make people you know, go crazy a bit and sing along, and I think those are also the songs people like to hear. That's why they go crazy and that's why they sing along. So it's probably most up-tempo songs and most catchy choruses songs that we tend to play live. There are the odd ones in between that are not so very friendly, but maybe songs that we were very proud of and want to play live, but mainly the ones that people like to hear. That's what we like to play live.
And in your ideal setup, how long will you guys play to, you know, satisfy the listeners what they want, but you can also play? I mean, how long will your set list have to be?
People always say we play too short. we play about an hour maybe maximum 90 minutes. I think that's the longest we usually play. But when we're on tour with a lot of other bands or we're at a festival, I mean, it happens, I would say, 80% of the time that you only get 45 minutes. And no matter how much you want to play more or how much people want to hear you, there's nothing you can do. So mostly we're confined to those 45 minutes, but when it's our own decision, we make it an hour or between an hour and an hour and a half.
And, you know, in terms of last time we saw you guys live was in back 2009, and are you still keeping up the same stage setup, your costumes, or you're upgrading for this new tours for this new album?
We're not going to take the armor on tour again. It's very inconvenient to travel with, and it's particularly inconvenient to play in, but it does look good. We're going to make a less dressed up, a less costumized image for the future, and we're going to tone down the Viking thing and not push it in people's faces as forcefully as we have been in the past. So it'll look more ordinary on our next tour, definitely.
So you guys are going to switch to the jeans and sneakers type of approach, that, or just, you know, keep it real? But
no, I will be pushing it. There's still, you still have to look like you didn't come in your Wednesday evening casual suit on stage. No, there's definitely a stage appearance, but not with the Viking thing in front as much as it has been.
And, you know, in terms of the band, I mean, now you guys are achieving, you know, a somewhat more comfortable position than before. The new album is, like you said, more accessible and everything. Where do you see this going now? Do you want to belt out a couple albums just like this one? Or where do you think you're going to explore next?
Judging from the material that I already have lying around for the next album, I would say we're going to continue in the same direction. trying to make simple, original, and accessible catchy music at the same time. And maybe work on the soundscape more than we have been doing in the past. I mean, our sound has been much the same. We've just worked on the songwriting and maybe try and get a more massively produced sound and see where that can lead us.
And
but, pretty much along the same line as we have been going for the last two albums.
And you know, in terms of you've been, you know, labeled Viking. You guys use that. You as you were saying, you kind of trying to shake it off. Have you guys ever considered, you know, using different orchestrations and more fancy stuff like other people, or you want to keep it, you know, guitar driven, vocal melody driven, to kind of stay away from what everybody else is doing, that they're cramming everything they can find into it?
Yeah, we never used any alternative instruments, and it's one of our trademarks to use a very straightforward heavy metal setup, and we're not going to use any different instrumentation in the future either. I mean, we're a heavy metal band before anything else. The Viking thing is not a thing that we chose to put on ourselves. It's been put on us by other people simply because of our ethnicity, and was not a thing we intended to put so much emphasis on from the beginning. And we like to get it down to the level where we wanted it to be to start with. I've just talked around myself. What was the question?
No, I mean, yeah. I mean, you answered it, that it was if you were maybe considering adding more stuff into the sound, but yeah, it seems like no.
Yeah, exactly.
And you know, for the promotion of this album, what do you guys have in store for all the fans that are waiting for this release to finally released to the public and waiting for you guys to play on more times live? What are your plans? How much are you touring and all this stuff?
Yeah, we have a few festivals in Germany and Europe this summer, coming up in a few months. And then there's work being done right now on a tour over Europe later this year. And South America and North America also. There are no details yet about that. No, I have no confirmation, but I'm pretty sure it will happen. So there'll be very much touring for the rest of the year for us.
Yeah.
What was the question?
Yeah, what is the most interesting things for you guys when you tour in North America? I mean, what do you like about touring in North America?
I like the people. I like the audience. They're very, very friendly and very, welcoming and forthcoming. And I like the tour buses as well. They have a different attitude towards vehicles in the U.S. than what they have in Europe. And buses are very nice. I mean, they make a lot of they put a lot of effort into making the vehicles comfortable. And getting to California is great at any time. Playing anywhere in California, I would love that.
So, I mean, in terms of the future of the band, I mean, where do you see, you know, how far do you want to take it? Do you guys want to keep doing it for, you know, until it gets old, or what are your plans?
I think as long as we see that the lines are going up, we are going to keep doing this. As long as we see the band growing, as long as we see expansion, we're going to keep at it. And once it stagnates or goes down again, yeah, let's see. I can't guarantee we're going to stop then even, but that might be the time to consider doing something different.
And, you know,
we're not there yet.
Exactly. And, you know, I mean, all these bands claim to be original for whatever X and Y reasons. What would you say their serious reasons to be different and one of the best?
It's the way I think, at least I hear no other band do it, use a very strict heavy metal instrumentation to make folk music or folk metal the way we do. And our inspiration in Faroese and Scandinavian folk music, I think, also sets us apart from other bands. And the way we arrange the music, so, I have a very classical approach to combining the harmonies and you know, making the guitar lines and the bass lines and whatever. And I think that makes the fact that as soon as you hear it, you know it's to, if you know the band in advance, of course. And I think we know our way around our instruments, and that I would not say we're the best. I don't remember how you phrased it, but we are at an acceptable level at least.
In terms of, you know, making the songs and singing, which language do you prefer to use? What sounds better, you think, and more catchy?
That's very hard to determine. I mean, some of our Faroese or Scandinavian songs are very popular, and we have some songs that we have probably have to play for the rest of our career live. For example, Singlasvisa, it's in Danish, and it's one of our most wanted songs live. So I don't think the language is that important. I mean, if the song is good, people are going to like it, and they would have liked it if it was English or Scandinavian language. But having said that, we probably sound a lot more original and full of national integrity when we sing in a Scandinavian language rather than in English. Not that I mind English at all, but that would probably be the only difference. I can't really tell you which makes it more catchy, because I don't think the language is that important, really.
Fair enough. And just to kind of wrap things up, are there like any closing remarks that you want to let the people in North America know that are listening to this interview and waiting for the album?
Yeah, please buy our album so that we can afford to live in a house and eat food. And please come to our shows. And remember that religion is bullshit.